Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, you will hear stories from Jill Robbins and Andrew Smith. Later, Brian Lynn presents this week's technology report. Finally, Katie Weaver and I take you on a journey to Colorado's Mesa Verde National Park. But first,
humans hunted and killed almost all northern bald ibis birds by the 17th century. But breeding and rewilding efforts over the last 20 years helped grow the bird population. However, the birds do not know which direction to fly to migrate without the guidance of wild-born birds. So humans are helping the birds learn their migration path. The northern bald ibis once flew over North Africa, the Arabian Peninsula, and much of Europe, including southern Germany's Bavaria. People liked eating the migratory birds, and they disappeared from Europe. A few groups of the birds survived in other places. In 2002, a conservation and research group based in Austria stepped in to help. The group is called Waldrapteam. The birds are called Waldrap in German. Scientists at Waldrapteam raise the birds and teach them how to fly to warmer areas. Johannes Fritz is a biologist working with the team. He said, "We have to teach them the migration route." Fritz and the Waldrapteam have increased the number of northern ibis in Central Europe from 0 to almost 300 since the start of their project in 2002. Fritz said the group's work is the first attempt to reintroduce a continentally extinct migratory bird species. He said his team found that when released, the birds raised by humans flew in the wrong direction and died in the winter. The humans have led the birds now for 17 years to places like Tuscany, Italy. Due to climate change, they have had to change the route to a winter home. Now they help the birds fly to Andalusia in southern Spain. To prepare them for travel, the humans begin working with the baby birds or chicks when they are just a few days old. The foster parent humans want the birds to connect with them, so they will trust them along the migration route. Barbara Steininger is one Waldrapteam foster mother. She said she acts like their bird mom. "We feed them, we clean their nests. We take good care of them and see that they are healthy birds," she said, "but also we interact with them." Steininger and the other foster parents then sit on the back of a very small aircraft, waving and cheering for the birds as they fly. Fritz knew his work would be possible because he saw the work of Canadian inventor and naturalist Bill Lishman. Lishman taught Canadian geese to fly alongside his small plane beginning in 1988. He later guided endangered whooping cranes through safe routes. Fritz's team efforts have worked. The first bird independently migrated back to Bavaria from Tuscany in 2011. The team hopes the Central European population will be more than 350 birds by 2028 and will not need human help to migrate. This year, the route to Spain is longer than last year's path. Earlier this month, from an airfield in Upper Bavaria, the team guided 36 birds along one stage through blue skies and a wind from behind them that increased their speed. The full journey to Spain could take up to 50 days. Fritz said the effort is bigger than just the northern bald ibises. He hopes the group's work offers a possibility for helping other threatened migratory species to fly. I'm Jill Robbins.
About 200 freshwater dolphins were found dead in Lake Tefé of the Amazon River in Brazil during a period of severe dry weather last year. That is why a team of biologists, animal doctors, and fishermen temporarily captured some river dolphins recently to study their health. The researchers hope the findings will help protect the dolphins from another weather disaster. One of the captured dolphins was a female with her offspring nearby. Fishermen were careful not to injure her and kept her close to her offspring to avoid stressing the animals. She relaxed, and we could do all the tests. She appeared in good health, said project leader Miriam Marmontel. She is a researcher at the Mamirahau Institute of Sustainable Development based in Tefé, Brazil. The organization planned the temporary capture of up to 20 dolphins. The team took blood from the animals and performed other medical tests. The work included removing a small amount of fat to see if harmful chemicals were in the dolphin's body. They also put microchips in the animals to follow their movements. The Solimões River feeds water into Lake Tefé. Unusually dry weather last year caused water levels in the river to drop. As a result, the water became warmer than usual. Thousands of fish also died in the Amazon rivers because of a lack of oxygen in the water. Many Amazon River dolphins are the color pink. They are found only in the rivers of South America, and they are among only a few kinds of freshwater dolphins still living in the world. Because they reproduce slowly, threats to their environment can more easily reduce their populations. Marmontel said researchers hope to better understand what caused last year's deaths, so that experts and officials can react faster to the effects of this year's dry weather. We aim to learn more about the health of the dolphins at a time when water begins to go down and temperatures start to rise, so we can identify the changes and know whether they are due to higher temperatures or a toxin or pollutant in the water, she told Reuters. The River Dolphin Research Project received financial support from the National Marine Mammal Foundation of California in the United States. That organization's researchers helped examine the dolphins using ultrasound technology. Marmontel said most of the dolphins that died last year were in Lake Tefé. The lake is very close to the Solimões River. The lake's waters reached 40.9 degrees Celsius during the 2023 dry season, more than 10 degrees higher than the average for that time of year. The water is now at 30 degrees Celsius, said Ian Fleischman. He is a geosciences researcher at the Mamirao Institute. Environmental activists have blamed climate change for the severe dry weather that made the river water warmer than normal. However, El Niño, the periodic and natural Pacific Ocean warming weather event, could also have brought about last year's dry weather in the Amazon. I'm Andrew Smith.
The social media service X has changed its artificial intelligence AI tool after several U.S. states warned that it was spreading election misinformation. Earlier this month, secretaries of state in five states sent the owner of X, Elon Musk, a letter requesting the change to its Grok AI tool. X explains on its help center that Grok is designed to be used as an AI search assistant to help users find information online. Such tools are also known as chatbots or generative AI. Grok is only available to paid users of X's Premium and Premium Plus services. In their letter, the secretaries of state expressed concern that the Grok tool was returning results that included misinformation about the U.S. presidential election process. The officials said that shortly after President Joe Biden ended his run for re-election, the Grok tool provided false information on state ballot requirements. The misinformation included a statement that the deadline had passed in several states to make ballot changes for the nation's presidential election. The secretaries wrote that the statement was completely false. In all the states identified by Grok, it was still possible for ballot changes to be made, the letter said. The ballot changes increased in importance when the Democratic Party chose a new nominee, Vice President Kamala Harris, after Biden withdrew. Former President Donald Trump is the Republican Party's nominee. The letter recognized that Grok does warn its users that the AI tool might return false information, and it noted that the tool urges users not to depend completely on Grok for news and information. However, the secretaries of state wrote, the false information about ballot deadlines was captured and shared repeatedly in multiple posts, reaching millions of people. In addition, they noted, Grok continued to repeat this false information for more than a week until it was corrected on July 31, 2024. The secretaries of state requested that Grok instead direct users who enter search requests about election-related questions to an official government-run website for the latest voting information. The request aimed to send Grok users immediately and directly to an official election-related website. The secretaries recently sent out a press release confirming that Grok had made such a change. Before providing results to search requests about election matters, the tool now offers new user guidance. For accurate and up-to-date information about the 2024 U.S. elections, please visit vote.gov, Grok now says. The state secretaries explained that vote.gov is a politically neutral, trustworthy website operated by the U.S. government in partnership with state election officials. The website also receives support from government organizations that seek to prevent internet attacks that can block sites or take them offline. All elections in the United States are operated by local officials, supported and led by a state agency. Experts say because each state sets its own requirements and deadlines, it is important for voters to be connected to the most dependable information available. Musk bought Twitter in 2022 and later renamed the service X. Activist groups have repeatedly raised concerns about a large increase in hate speech and misinformation appearing on the service after Musk became the owner. Some ex-critics have also said major employee cuts had left the company with ineffective content moderation methods that do not catch misinformation. In their latest press release, the secretaries of state thanked X for agreeing to the change and said they hope the company will remain open to additional improvements to protect its users. They added, "Elections are a team effort, and we need and welcome any partners who are committed to ensuring free, fair, secure, and accurate elections." I'm Brian Lynn.
Now, Brian Lynn joins me to talk more about his technology report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Of course, Ashley. Glad to be here.
This week, your report dealt with a change X made to its AI tool that aims to reduce misinformation about the U.S. presidential election. X decided to make the change quickly and voluntarily. How common is it for a technology company to respond in such a direct way to a government request?
So this kind of change is really not that common, and one reason is because this was a fairly major change to this AI tool. As was stated in the report, search requests in Grok related to U.S. election subjects now include a direction for users to visit an official government website for the best information. This idea is not new, and other technology companies are providing similar guidance to users of its chatbot tools, but it is a big step for a company to take since it does involve a large number of search requests, and this change happened in just a few weeks, which is quite unusual.
It was noted in your report that X already warns users that its AI tool can return false results, and that people should look elsewhere to confirm important details. But it still decided in this case to make this specific change. Why do you think this was the case?
Yes, so other technology companies also provide this kind of warning to users because, of course, these systems do make mistakes and cannot always be trusted. But I think in this case, X decided to act quickly because they were shown clear examples of misinformation, and the request came from officials from several U.S. states. And the officials also made the request public, which could have made X more responsive. Also, this happened at a very important time in the election campaign when there was a change in candidates that needed to be updated on ballots.
You noted other technology companies have taken similar moves. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, so for example, OpenAI, the developer of the AI tool ChatGPT, offers its users a similar response when they search information related to the U.S. presidential election, with a direction to official websites. And Google's chatbot, called Gemini, tells searchers of election information that it cannot help with election or political requests. The tool directs users instead to use the company's main Google search tool for this kind of information.
Okay. Thank you again for being here, Brian.
You're welcome, Ashley. Thank you for having me.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Our National Parks journey across the United States takes us to southwestern Colorado. We are visiting a large U.S. national park called Mesa Verde. It was established to protect the culture of ancient Native Americans. Mesa Verde National Park is over 100 years old. In 1906, then-President Theodore Roosevelt signed a bill creating the park. Mesa Verde offers visitors a look into the lives of the ancestral Pueblo people, who lived in the area between 700 and 1,400 years ago. The national park protects almost 5,000 archaeological sites. They are some of the best preserved archaeological areas in the country.
The term Mesa Verde is Spanish for green table. Early Spanish explorers gave the name to the area. In geology, a mesa is a flat-topped highland with steep sides. Mesa Verde is not actually a mesa. It is a cuesta, a term used to describe a hill with a sharp drop on one side and a soft, gentle slope on the other. A more correct name for the national park, then, would be Cuesta Verde. The gently sloping side of Mesa Verde was important in the formation of the 600 cliff dwellings within the park. Cliff dwellings are living areas that were set up in caves, the large open areas in the side of the cliff.
Mesa Verde rises more than 540 meters above the ground. Visitors can drive to the top of the hill on a winding mountain road. In the distance are the flatlands and mountains of an area called the Four Corners. That is where the western states of Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, and Arizona meet. Some of the ruins in the Four Corners area are from the earliest people who lived there. They were hunters and gatherers, now known as basket makers. The basket makers lived in simple caves. The first evidence that ancient people had moved to Mesa Verde is from about 1,500 years ago. Those people lived in pit houses, large holes in the ground with wood and mud covering the top. In the 8th century, the early Pueblo people began building square structures of large connected rooms, or pueblos, above ground. More than 300 years later, they climbed down the canyon walls and began building cliff dwellings.
Today, visitors to Mesa Verde National Park can see some of the remains of all four kinds of settlements. Visitors are able to explore several of Mesa Verde's renowned cliff dwellings. Many of them take several hours to reach by foot. Signs along some of the paths point to trees and plants used by the ancestral Puebloan people. Visitors will also find the juniper and pinyon pine trees that make Mesa Verde green. Cliff Palace is the largest cliff dwelling in Mesa Verde and North America. It has 150 rooms. It is not easy to get to Cliff Palace. Visitors must climb down into the canyon on a narrow path with many steps. They must also climb down several ladders. But the trip is well worth the effort. Visitors can examine this beautiful structure made of stone and clay. Spruce Treehouse is the third largest cliff dwelling in Mesa Verde. It has 114 rooms. It also has 8 underground rooms called kivas. Pueblo Indian men gathered in the kivas for ceremonies.
Mesa Verde National Park occupies 21,000 hectares of land in Montezuma County, Colorado. About 500,000 people visit the park each year. Archaeologists working in Mesa Verde have recovered many objects that the ancient Pueblo people used, including tools and jewelry. Many of the objects can be seen in the visitors' center. However, human remains or any object from a burial area may not be touched or shown. This is to respect the wishes of the modern Puebloan people who live in the area today. Mesa Verde has been recognized as a special place. The United Nations named it as one of the first World Heritage Sites in 1978. Today's Pueblo Indians consider Mesa Verde a sacred place. And for visitors from around the world, it remains a place of mystery and beauty. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.